Dear friends in Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior. I would like to consider with you these marvelous words of Paul's letter to the Romans in the 8th chapter, where he again writes these words, "For I consider that the present sufferings of this time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly, as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. And likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." This is God's Word. Please be seated. Well, last Sunday afternoon at the dinner table at our house, we were discussing the sermon when I used the illustration of Finding Nemo as a little parable of a father searching for that which he had lost. And I got a little bit of criticism for some that said that maybe that wasn't the best illustration to use. And if you think about the movie, okay, you can find some things. I told them the big story, that was the main thing. A father, a loving father searching for his son. But okay, if you want to pick it apart, not necessarily always the best illustration. But then we got to, and then, you know, what do they know anyway, right? So, and I suppose I'll be in for some criticism today at home too, but you go home and criticize me too, that's all right. Have roast pastor for dinner. So so today that we also got to talking about a movie, then other movies that have a theological significance, and we got to talking about the movie The Matrix and all of the theological undertones of that movie. Now, I have never seen the movie, but I've read a lot about it, and that sci-fi plot really fascinates me, and here's how I understand it. And I think I mentioned this once before in a sermon too, but the movie The Matrix is about a man, Mr. Anderson, who believes that he is living a normal life in the year 1999 in an almost ideal world, until a man by the name of Morpheus leads him to the truth. In reality, it is the year 2199. It's 200 years later than he thought it was. And the human race has been enslaved by an invading race of intelligent machines. And these machines, in order to sustain themselves, grow human beings in little pods, and they harvest human body heat and bioelectrical energy and use those humans almost like ever-ready batteries to keep themselves going. But to keep all of these human batteries docile, these machines have plugged their brains into a computer program, the Matrix. And in their minds, this computer program simulates the year 1999 and makes all of the humans who are plugged into it believe that that is reality. Now, it's a little mind-bending, but the situation basically is this. There are people, a lot of people in this movie, living inside this matrix, which they believe to be the only reality of life, when in fact, there exists a whole nother surrounding situation that is even more real, more significant for their lives. Now, in this text from Paul's letter to the Romans, Paul uses some very powerful words to describe the matrix of our lives in this world. He uses words like sufferings, longing, frustration, futility, bondage, decay, pain. And that is the matrix. That is the surrounding situation in which we live our lives in this world. You know that. You have felt those things. And because of that, Paul says we groan. We groan. You can hear the groaning of the human family, can't you? Humanity is groaning under the weight of sin. There are wars, and people groan. There is oppression and tyranny, and people groan. There is tragedy and death and poverty and crime and hunger pangs. And then on top of all of that, we disappoint ourselves when we do the things that we know we shouldn't do and we feel guilty about that. In this matrix of anguish, the human family is groaning. Can you hear it? But listen even more carefully. It's not just people that are groaning, but Paul says the creation is groaning right along with us. I think sometimes we forget that. That it wasn't just man who received the curse for sin, but all of creation. The earth was cursed with Adam. And now it too is groaning under the burden and the weight of sin. Listen carefully. Can you hear the creation groaning with us? Earthquakes tremble. Hurricanes howl. Tsunamis obliterate. Volcanoes explode. Tornadoes, fires, droughts, floods, all add to the groaning. And in this matrix of upheaval, the creation is groaning right along with us. As it longs for itself and for us to be set free from this bondage to decay. I don't know, you ever get to the end of a long, hard day? When it feels like everything has gone wrong, you've spent the day putting out little fires here and there between people, you've gotten blamed for something you didn't do, the car broke down, a wave of grief came over you because of some grief that you are experiencing, your car broke down, you got home, and there was strife in relationships at home, and you get through all of it, and you plop down into the easy chair, and there's really no words to describe what you're feeling. And so all you can do is, that's the groan that Paul is talking about. A groan of frustration. Frustration that something is so very wrong with us and so wrong with the creation. Frustration that it has to be this way and that we constantly have to contend with all of these problems and these issues and these sadnesses and these disasters. But you know what's even worse than that? Is the belief that so many people have that this groaning existence of ours is the sum total of reality. That this matrix of evil and of anguish in which we live is all that there is to life. People become so plugged into this world that they can't even begin to perceive that there might be another reality out there. But Paul says we know of another reality. We know of another surrounding situation that is even larger and more real than this anguished life we live in. I've called it a matrix of hope, which can be seen only through faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul says in this text, it's like a birth. Now, the immediate situation when a child is born is not necessarily a pretty thing to watch or to hear, or as I understand, to feel for that matter. But we endure it because of the expected outcome, a new life. I know the groans that I heard at the birth of one of my children. Doctor, put me under and I'll name my child after you. No, she didn't say that, really. But what a great analogy, huh? Sin in this world has created this matrix of anguish. And it causes us to groan as though we are in birth pains. It stirs up frustration that we can't fix it. But we can endure it, and that's the point. And why can we endure it? Because by faith in Christ, we know of a greater matrix of hope that surrounds our lives, even in the midst of all of these birth pains and all of this anguish. Listen to the way Paul describes this matrix of hope. He uses phrases and words like these. He talks about the glory that is to be revealed in us. He talks about eager expectation and glorious freedom and adoption and redemption and salvation and hope. And Paul says that these truths, these promises, are given to you as the first fruits of the Spirit. The first fruits. That means that these gifts of hope and of joy are given to us as a down payment, as it were, on all of the riches of God's kingdom that He has in store for you. You're already receiving the first fruits in these promises of God. These first fruits are given to us as encouragement to hold on in faith, no matter how difficult the birth pains become. These first fruits are given to you as a reminder that whatever you suffer in this world does not begin to compare with the glory that's going to be revealed in us one day. Earlier in the book of Romans, last Sunday, Paul said that we are heirs with Christ. And He is the yes to all of God's promises to us. He came to us in this matrix of anguish. He experienced all of the pain and the tears and the anguish and the frustration, and yet was Himself without sin, so that He could be prepared as the one sacrifice for all of us. Upon the cross, He yielded up His life as an atonement for our sins. His blood washes all the guilt away. He rose again in victory over death. And now the great forces of sin and death that cause us so much anguish in this matrix of anguish, that cause us so much frustration, those forces have been faced head on and have been vanquished by our Savior. And now we come here. We come to the foot of Jesus' cross, and we come to this table. And our eyes are opened up to see this larger matrix of hope within which we live. We come here and the devil says to us, there is no hope for you. But Christ says, hope. The devil says, you can't be forgiven. And Christ says, redeemed. The devil says, you cannot belong to God's family, not the way you are. And Christ says, adopted. The devil says, you have nothing to look forward to. And Christ says, live in eager expectation. The devil says, you are mine. Christ says, glorious freedom. The devil says, damn you. And Christ says, saved. That's the matrix of hope within which we find ourselves through our Christian faith. Salvation is completed, yes, by the work of Jesus Christ. But we don't yet have all the benefits of that salvation. This isn't it, folks. What you have now is just the first fruits. First fruits means there's a lot more to come. There is so much more that God wants to give you through His Son and will give you when you are glorified and when our salvation is complete. So faith in this matrix of anguish is all about waiting, wide-eyed, on your tiptoes, full of expectation as we await the glory that's going to be revealed in us one day. And so for now we can put up with the groaning, no matter how difficult the birth pains become, because the future is secure. And already, by the first fruits of the Spirit, that new life is coming alive in us. Already, the hope, the joy, the peace, it's already starting. And one day it will be completed. In the movie The Matrix, once Mr. Anderson became aware of the truth of life, he was able to go back into the matrix and to do amazing things. Now that he understood, he could bend the rules and he could dodge bullets and stop them and drop them to the ground and he could fly up in the air. Well, friends, now that you've been awakened to the matrix of hope that surrounds your life, even in this world, you can come back into this matrix of anguish and you can do some amazing things. You know that? You can dodge the flaming arrows of your enemy while everyone else is succumbing to his temptations. You can soar on the winds of hope while everyone else is grounded in their guilt. And you can bring others to the knowledge of the truth as you unplug them from the hopelessness and you share your hope with them. And when everyone else's groans are falling on deaf ears, you know that your groans are being transmitted by the Spirit of God to the throne of God as prayer. When the birth pangs become so difficult, when life becomes so painful and so anguished that you don't even know how to pray or what to pray for, your groans is all you need to say. The Spirit knows what's in that groan, and He takes that groan and He transmits it to God as prayer, and the Father, for the sake of Jesus Christ, hears that prayer and knows what is best for you, as we just sang in that hymn. And He upholds you by His powerful right hand. He sustains you through the birth pains all the way to glorious freedom. When the children of God and the creation around us will finally be set free from this bondage to decay. In the blessed name of our Savior, we live in a matrix of hope. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.